91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. This afternoon, we look at a gratifying program which honors deceased U.S. military veterans. Good afternoon, it's Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper. The South Florida Woodworkers Guild offers veterans and their families free beautiful presentation urns for the remains of those who served America. They're crafted of hardwoods by experts. And more, Linda Gassenheimer presents her annual pre-holiday kitchen gadget program. We'll look over the new George Foreman Evolve indoor grill, which now also makes waffles. And for the griller with absolutely, positively everything, there's now a grill cleaning robot. Wine columnist Fred Tasker is also aboard. Topical Currents up next. First, the news.
And 7 minutes past 1 o'clock, it is today's Topical Currents, Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Thursday edition. And we begin today's program with the story behind a heartfelt display of respect and patriotism by the South Florida Woodworking Guild.
It's a project to provide handsome, handcrafted urns for the ashes of military veterans. We'll learn more in just a moment from Brad Carpenter, a guild...
Ferguson.
It makes sense. Thank you. A guild vice president. He coordinates the Urns for Indigent Vets project. Welcome to you, Brad.
Thank you.
Brad Ferguson.
Yes.
We'll also hear about the Missing in America program, which seeks to locate, identify, and claim the remains of American veterans. The Florida State coordinator of the program is Kathy Church, and she'll tell us all about that.
And she joins us by phone from Jacksonville. Welcome to you, Kathy.
Thank you very much for having us on today.
It's our pleasure. Brad, let's begin with you. How did the issue of forgotten veterans who'd been cremated but with no one to claim the cremains first come to your attention and that of the South Florida Woodworking Guild?
Myself and three other members of the South Woodworking Guild went to a woodworking show up in Tampa, and there was a booth there with the woodworking group from Sarasota and St. Pete, and they had urns on display, and I just started talking to the fellows behind the table, and they told us that... that they were donating urns for the indigent veterans that needed to have a proper burial. They were saying that the veterans were getting buried in cardboard boxes and plastic containers, and being a woodworker and being around woodworkers on our way home back
and
to...
And being a veteran.
And being a veteran, coming back from... Tampa, on the 3.5-hour ride, we decided that, you know, we could do a good job as a group, and designed an urn and presented it to the group, and the group was all in favor of donating their time to build the urns. And then we started building them, and we didn't have any place to go. And that's where Michael Thomas came in and... helped us get in touch with Kurt Leppert, I guess it is,
yes.
In the South Florida National Cemetery in Lake Worth, and it just evolved from there.
Well, we're going to get with Michael Thomas in just a moment, but Brad Ferguson, could you in great detail describe the urn that's before us for our audience, who, of course, I'm sure would love to see it? But.
It's an urn that holds 200 cubic inches of cremation. It's made out of mahogany. It's all lacquered finished, all hand-rubbed lacquer. And it's built like a tomb. The design is a tomb type.
There's some layers on
it's
the
layers,
top.
Yeah. What we did is we took a and put a skirt around the bottom of the urn with curved edges on it, and then made the sides, which are bookend match, which means that it came out of the board all in one line. So when you look at the left-hand side, the grain follows around to the front, and then it also follows around to the right-hand side and then to the back. So it has a unique design to it. And then the top is just three layers of trimmed out wood that gives it that appearance of a tomb.
So how do you find these veterans? Is it through the Missing in America Project?
Exactly.
Okay, so let's talk to Kathy Church. She's the Missing in America Project, or MIAP, as we'll call it, coordinator for the state of Florida. Welcome, Kathy, and tell us about the Missing in America Project.
Okay, and you're right. We go by MIAP, or here in Florida, we say MIAP.
Okay.
To shorten it, we are a nationwide nonprofit 501c3 organization. Our goal is to locate, identify, and inter the unclaimed cremated remains of veterans, spouses, and dependents that have literally sat on funeral home shelves, in hospital basements, crematoriums, and so on for decades, going back to the Civil War days. I'm with the American Legion, and this program is an American Legion-sponsored program of VFW. Many veterans organizations sponsor this, and this is how I got involved. I had no idea that there was such a thing as an unclaimed cremain of anyone. Now, all of these are not indigents.
Okay.
Some of them, when they passed away, you know, the people, a husband and wife might make their funeral arrangements and tell the funeral home to hold on to their cremains until their spouse dies and then inter them together. And then the spouse might relocate or remarry, or they don't let the family know that the loved one is sitting on a shelf. Unfortunately, families become distant from each other. Sometimes they don't finish paying for the services, and I think that they're kind of embarrassed to go back to claim their loved ones. And years ago, I think a lot of people thought that cremation was the final step. Like, they had the funeral and went through that process, but then, you know, the cremation part was final and didn't realize that they could pick their loved ones up. Or, unfortunately, sometimes the funeral homes didn't follow through with the, you know, request of scattering ashes and so on.
Now, ballpark figure, about how many of these cremains per year does your organization deal with?
Well, since 2007, which is when we started, we have located over 12,000 unclaimed cremains. Out of that, we have interred almost 1,800 veterans alone. You know, the numbers are just staggering. There's a state hospital in Oregon that's closed down, and just to give you the size of this program, in their basement, in this state hospital, which right now they will not allow us to work their files, but eventually they will, they have over 3,500 unclaimed copper urns.
Kathy, and is the Veterans Administration working with you on this project?
Most definitely.
Ah.
We have permission from the VA. Right now we're the only organization that is doing this because we go through the paper files. If the funeral home allows us, they provide us with the list of the unclaimed that they have. They know who they are, but then they will allow us to go through the paperwork to find the matching paperwork. And sometimes we even find the DD-214, which is the veteran's discharge paper, or something in the file to indicate they were a veteran. However, we send all of the names, whether it's a male or a female, to the National Cemetery Scheduling Office, and they make the final decision as to whether the person was a veteran or a spouse or dependent of a veteran, and are they eligible to be interred into a national cemetery.
Now, you said you even go back to some of these cremains dating to the Civil War, so I suppose there's also a lot, say, from World War One and World War Two, of course.
World War One, World War Two, Korea, Vietnam, husbands and wives still sitting, like a husband and a wife still sitting on a funeral home shelf. Here in Jacksonville, we actually found a husband, a wife, and a son, who all three of them were sitting on the funeral home shelf. Hmm. The service that we're having on Saturday at the South Florida National Cemetery is our 8th service for the state of Florida. We've done 6 in Jacksonville. We did 1 in Sarasota on November 5th, and then we're doing this one this coming Saturday.
All right, we're going to talk more about that ceremony, that service that's happening Saturday in Lake Worth, but we want to introduce Master Gardener Michael Thomas. He coordinates gardening courses for vets and at the Bill Kling VA Clinic in Sunrise. He's also a member of the South Florida Woodworking Guild. Welcome to you.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Good to have you. So now you joined up. Is it that you joined up with Brad to do this the Urns for Indigent Vets project?
Yes. Came aware of the project through a common friend, and they were having some challenges trying to get at the cemetery in Lake Worth. So I was able to make contact with Kirk Leopold, and we met with him, and then the ball started rolling after that.
I didn't realize that this cemetery in Lake Worth is actually a branch of Arlington National Cemetery.
That's correct.
I'm sorry.
Kathy, did you want to say something?
Yeah. I did, actually, and I didn't learn this until I became involved in this project. Arlington National Cemetery is actually run by the Army.
U.S. Army. It is
That's the
correct.
Only national cemetery that is run by the Army. All the other national cemeteries are run by the Veterans Administration.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. You beat me to it.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut in.
That's okay.
There.
That's all right.
Michael, you're a veteran. Where did you serve?
I'm retired, U.S. Army. Served several countries and the U.S., of course, for almost 27 years.
And what were you involved in more? Did you serve in wartime?
I did not. I did not go to any wars. During the Desert Storm, we supported the effort by pushing. I was a logistics NCO, and we pushed all the supplies towards the war effort for Desert Storm, Desert Shield. Mm.
So you got involved with this because?
I am a veteran. And,
right.
Saw a need that, you know, it was horrible to think of that veterans who had served their country were being buried in cardboard boxes.
Mm-hmm. Brad Ferguson, before we go, tell us a little bit about how much time it takes to construct one of these and what goes into it.
There's probably a minimum of 25 hours that it takes to put one of these together.
Boy.
And then probably another 5 to 8 hours, depending on the humidity and the conditions, on finishing it off, hand rubbing out the lacquer and getting it where it is. So I'd say somewhere around 35 hours per urn.
And it's my understanding that the woodworking shop, and the services are all being donated at this point.
Part of it's true. Whittlesley Lumber in Miami has been fantastic with us, and they've donated the majority of the wood. There's a professional box maker, Don Boudreau, in Southwest Ranches, that has a big shop, and he's a member of the guild, and we use his shop to prepare the boxes and have our build-offs where the other members of the guild can come in and for a Saturday and put some of the urns together.
And Michael, will the materials and labor continue to be donated?
Well, that's one of the reasons why we're glad that you're doing this for us, to get the word out, asking for donations for the project as well. Yes.
The South Florida Woodworking Guild is a nonprofit organization.
That's correct.
It's a 501(c). So any donations are tax deductible. Very easy to donate in that you just go to our website, which is the initials, sfwg.org, and you just click on the button whether you want to pay by PayPal, American Express, Visa, MasterCard, and it just asks you how much you'd like to donate, and it gets deposited in our account. And, you know, we are behind. It costs us a lot of money for the supplies. We've been fortunate that we haven't had to pay too much for the wood We have had to buy some of the wood, but the other supplies that go into this have run up some pretty hefty bills for us.
We're speaking with Kathy Church from the Missing in America Project. Also, Michael Thomas is with the South Florida Woodworking Guild and a master gardener and coordinator of gardening courses for vets at the Bill Kling VA Clinic. And also, we just heard from Brad Ferguson. He's vice president of the South Florida Woodworking Guild and the Urns for Indigent Vets project coordinator. We'll be right back.
And we return. It is today's Topical Currents, Thursday edition. Bonnie Berman and Joseph Cooper with you. We're speaking with Brad Ferguson, Kathy Church, and also Michael Thomas. We're talking about the Missing in America program and also Urns for Indigent Vets Project. The Urns for Indigent Vets Project is a project of the South Florida Woodworking Guild.
And we're also now going to talk about the Veterans Garden Project, which is sponsored by the Florida Master Gardeners of Broward County. Michael Thomas, tell us more about the project.
The project was inspired by a veteran who had attended the Master Gardener course several years ago. And he talked to Dr. John Popoli, who was the extension officer for Broward County, who further got in contact with me and another veteran and asked us to talk. And it was always, his name is Brendan Doyle. Brendan's vision was to teach classes at the VA clinic and to have veterans go over there and be inspired by gardening. So that's how the project kind of started.
And so what is the purpose of it?
It's a threefold project. One, to create a wildlife. We have two butterfly gardens that we've created at the clinic. And it creates a wildlife habitat for people to see. And also it's a very nice place to just sit down and, let your thoughts relax. And then to show veterans how they can create, because they create it and they plan that garden. And then we teach classes at the clinic on the third Wednesday of each month on site for about a little hour at the classes.
So would you say that it's effective in helping veterans deal with things like PTSD? And is that one of the purposes?
That's exactly, Bonnie. If you've grown anything here in South Florida and after you've done with the heat and the all the pests that you have to deal with, you can't think about anything else. So I thought process is that it's therapy to deal with challenges that veterans may have.
So you're on both ends, the woodworking and the gardening.
Well, trying to get the woodworking.
Any other hobbies we should know about?
No.
So let's, Kathy Church, let's talk about this service on Saturday, December 5th at the South Florida National Cemetery. Tell us what that will be.
The service starts at 11. We will have a motorcycle escort for any motorcycle organizations, American Legion Riders, Patriot Guard Riders, or any just individual who would like to be part of the escort, which will be led by the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office. They'll meet at the Target store at 5900 Florida State Road at 9:45 a.m. They will escort the hearse to the cemetery. The service, which starts at 11, is a full with military honor service with volley, taps, folding of the flag. We do make attempt to notify last known next of kin, and there has been several times where we have had family members attend the services. So if there is a family member there, we fold one flag we actually will be interring 13 veterans and 8 spouses for this service. The longest that one of them has sat on a funeral home shelf dates back to 1976. So if a family member happens to be in attendance, which we really, wish that we do have family members, they will be presented with the flag, and then a Missing in America Project representative will accept the flag for the families that are not in attendance. We have the Palm Beach Atlantic University Symphonic Band will play. We have a key speaker, which will be Brian Mass, Sergeant Brian Mass, United States Army retired. We do the national anthem, Amazing Grace. So it is a full service. And then we all progress over to the columbarium, and we get volunteers to be pallbearers and flag carriers from the community. And then when they go, we get over to the columbarium. As the urn is placed in the niche, it'll be placed in the niche by an active duty person. In other words, if it's an Army veteran we're interring, it'll be an active duty Army personnel, and they will do the final salute.
Okay, do
and
you
our
have...
motto...
I'm sorry. I was going to ask if there's a website where...
Or a phone number. So if people want to attend this, they can go.
Sure. Our website is www.miap.us. And then my phone number is 904-219-3035. And, you know, just like the other organizations. And first, I do want to thank the South Woodworking Guild for their donations of their urns, because this is just the partnership that we have, and what they're doing for us is amazing, and we do appreciate it. We already have another 20 that have been verified in South Florida, and we'll be doing another service the beginning of the year, or early spring, I should say. So we're fortunate that we have them on board working with us.
Brad Ferguson, how about the information where people who want to help this project get more?
Where
can they go on the website?
On the website, you have South Florida. It's sfwg.org. That's our website, and you can see how our monthly meetings go and a little bit about us. It'll also tell you where we have our meetings. We have them at the VFW, Post 966, right down by just off of 84 by Lester's Diner, down by the airport. And it's a VFW hall, and we rent the hall. And on the second Tuesday of every month, we have a meeting. Like, we'll have one December 8th. And we have many different projects. We just don't have the urns projects. We do Toys for Tots and
things. Joe DiMaggio's
hospital. We just donated a lot of toys for the Christmas holiday.
And Michael, tell us how people can find out more about, I mean, if there are veterans listening or their families, the Veterans Garden Project.
Yes, they can go online, or they can email mastergardner@broward.org, leave an email there to get further information, or they can call my number, 954-336-8233.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you.
Well, good. And we just want to announce that military service for the veterans is this Saturday at the South Florida National Cemetery. It's 6501 South State Road 7 in Lake Worth, 33449. Michael Thomas, Master Gardener, excuse me?
It is open to the public, too. I just wanted to add that in. Yes, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Okay, that's Kathy Church. She is the Florida State Coordinator for Missing in America Project, or MIAP.us. Michael Thomas, Master Gardener, Coordinator of Gardening Classes for Vets at the Bill Kling VA Clinic and the VA in Miami and Lake Worth National Cemetery. He's a new South Florida Woodworking Guild member. And also Brad Ferguson, Vice President of the South Florida Woodworking Guild and the Project Coordinator for Urns for Indigent Vets. Thank you all so much. And we want to give it sfwg.org. Thank you all for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much for having us.
Our pleasure.
Food and Dining up next.
And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper. It's time for Food and Dining. Well, holiday gifting may now be entering our thoughts.
It is.
How it's unavoidable. So those who have friends and family devoted to kitchens and cooking might want to consider some of Linda Gassenheimer's tips for handy gadgets. Of course, some are super clever, real-time savers for the cook. Others wind up being, well,
a little goofy.
So we'll get the scoop.
But not the ones that Linda chooses.
No.
Thank you.
No,
I was waiting for that. Thank you.
We'll get the scoop on appliances and contraptions from chef, author, and syndicated columnist and our friend Linda Gassenheimer. Welcome, Linda.
Nice to be with you, Bonnie and Joe. And yes, you said it was gift-giving time. And I've got some help with your holiday list. You know, kitchen gadgets are always a hit. Even with my friends who don't cook, they like to have the gadgets.
Right.
So I brought some for us to test. And also, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Maybe you have some kitchen gadget ideas or some things that we should look out for, some duds, because I have not brought any duds. Right, Joe?
No.
Of course not. Give us a call, 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
Although I do remember the bacon-flavored lip balm that you brought in that time.
And you took it home and used it. And that was not a gadget. That was food. Okay. Also with us is our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker, and he's joining us by Skype. You can read Fred's wine suggestions in my Dinner in Minutes column, and you can also read his wine column that's now on Saturday in the Herald. Fred, how about some wine gadgets?
Well, I'm going to talk about wine gadgets, and some of them are earth-shaking, and I'm proud to say some of them are goofy.
There you go. Proud Fred. Thank you. Okay, let's start. I've got some small gadgets here. They're under $10. They're just fun little gadgets, little gift stocking stuffers, or maybe you just like them for yourself for your own treat. Now, all the gadgets that we're mentioning today are going to be listed with a photo and the price at dinnerinminutes.com. So you'll be able to see everything there. And by the way, the prices listed are suggested retail prices. And I found going online that you can get all kinds of prices and maybe do a little bit better, possible reductions. So let's start with our under $10. Now I'm holding up here a little, looks like a doll. It's about 5 inches high. It's she's got a red wig on.
And is scowling.
And she's got, yeah, she's not very happy. And she's called Angry Mama. And I really like this one because it cleans your microwave. So you've got fill lines here, and it's got vinegar, a line for vinegar and a line for water, and you put it in your microwave for 7 minutes, and steam comes out of the top of the head. There's holes in the top of the head.
So she really looks angry then.
Right, but she absolutely cleans your microwave. Excuse me, the steam disinfects, it cleans, it softens any stains, so you can just wipe your microwave right out. And it's only $9.95.
Did you try it?
Of course I tried it.
Well, your microwave is always spotless anyway, though.
Of course. Yeah. But no, it does work. In fact, I thought maybe we ought to work it on this microwave here at the studio.
That could be done. It hasn't been cleaned since about 1984, I don't think.
Oh, Joe. We just want to let you know that Paul Leary has us on Periscope. So if you go to Twitter, you can actually see on Periscope all of the gadgets that Linda has with her today.
And I'm holding it up for
the Angry Mama.
The Angry Mama.
Okay.
And again, they're on my website as well. Okay, so here's another one. Now, this is a gadget that I looked at and said, you probably do not need this. Do you want to clutter up your kitchen with it? It's a saw scoop. And I found out during Thanksgiving that this was really terrific because it's a knife that looks like a saw. It's got saw on it, and it goes right through butternut. If you ever tried to open up a butternut squash or a hard melon, this will go right through it, and the little spoon that comes with it will scoop out the seeds. So it's a cute little gadget.
For those in the know, it looks like a small drywall saw.
Well, I don't know about drywall
saws. With the teeth on it, yeah, and the point.
Okay, with the teeth and the point. But it really goes right in. It cuts right through all those hard skins.
That is good, especially the butternut squash.
Right. And this little gadget's $9.99. So it's a cute little gift for people or if you'd like to have it on your own. So now, here's gifts for under $25. And this is another gift that I've had this for several months and I use it every single day. And this is called combined tools. So difficult to describe, but these are cooking spoons. I said this is a cooking spoon to someone. She said, what is that? Well, do you have something in your drawer or by your stove that you cook with? It's a big spoon. I call it a cooking spoon. That's what this is. And with it comes a cooking fork. So it's a three-in-one tool. It's everything three-in-one. And you really don't need any other tools by your stove, as far as I'm concerned, because this does all the cooking for you. This will stir pasta. The fork will stir pasta. I even used it to whisk something in my skillet.
Well, the spatula part of it is quite thin, maybe 2.5 inches, so you couldn't, say, flip a pancake or hash browns with it.
Well, how big are your hash browns and pancakes?
Well, most of a skillet.
Okay, a smaller one.
All right.
All right, good. But here's the deal. What happens was you hook it together at the ends, and guess what? It becomes a tong. And you can pick up for salads, flipping something like a steak in the stove, or flipping whatever
you're cooking. You can use that on the barbecue grill, too.
Yes, and it's silicone.
It's not real long. But
no, but it's silicone, and it goes in the dishwasher. So I thought this was a cute little gadget, and I couldn't imagine how it worked until I looked very carefully.
So it's good with your nonstick cookware.
Yes, it does. And it's $13.99. So it's not expensive and goes in the dishwasher, and I love to use it. Okay, so the next one I'm holding up, it looks like a little box, right? It's about 4 inches by 3 inches. And what it is a garlic cutter. How many?
It's plastic. It has rounded corners.
Right.
Sort of rubbery tools on the top.
Well, they're all silicone. These are plastic and silicone. How many tools do you have for cutting for garlic? Every year I'm sent loads of them, loads of them. A garlic press, a garlic what? But this one is really cute. It's a little box. And what I like about it is that it you can put two or three garlic in at once. You put the cover on and you slide it back and forth.
Linda loves those.
You just blew out somebody's car
effects.
Speakers, Linda.
And it grates the garlic, and it stores it in the little box, and it saves your fingers, right? So you don't have to worry about that. And it's $14.99.
Bonnie, whenever she says cute for something in the kitchen, I'm not sure I want it in my kitchen.
Well, that looks pretty practical.
Well, who wants cute?
It looks like an old transistor radio.
You think?
Without the knobs.
What is a transistor radio these days?
I don't know.
Joe, I'll try to come up with some ugly gifts for you.
Thank you, Fred Tasker. Joe, what would you call it if you don't call it cute?
Practical.
Superfluous.
No, all right, we're going on to the next one.
If you grate some garlic, there's no reason to save it, just throw it away, for crying out loud. If you don't use it all.
But Bonnie and I are looking at you in disbelief. I'm going on to the next one.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, here we go. This is next to you, Joe. It's a salad chef. Now, this is really useful. I happen to like making my own salad dressing. And you're going to play with it now?
Well, how do I turn it on?
The button is at the bottom, at the end. So it's a carafe.
It's very powerful.
Yes. And the carafe comes with it, has lines on it and recipes. So all you need to do is
fill vinegar cruet.
Right. So you fill it with vinegar and oil and whatever, any other things. Use the recipes there or use your own.
Okay. So let me take the top off here.
Okay. And then you put it in all the way in or else you'll splash. Okay. And it emulsifies your salad dressing. And I like it because what happens is I keep that dressing in my refrigerator for a couple of weeks. So you can make your own salad dressing.
Why wouldn't you just shake it in the bottle?
Shaken instead of stirred? Well, this is stirred instead of shaken. Okay.
We're not making
What's
a
the
martini?
Name of that, Linda?
That is called a Bonjour. It's made by Bonjour, and it's a salad chef. And you can, you know, it's so easy to use. Then it
is
has
very, little, very little, thick, so it's...
So you put the stopper in, put it in your refrigerator, And I keep it for a couple of weeks.
You know, Bonjour is the one you gave me that it had the milk steamer, the milk frother, right?
It's a similar mechanism because the milk frother
really
is
good,
smaller.
Good vinaigrette, too.
And this one, as Joe said, it's a heavy-duty spinner. And I just bring the carafe right to the table. It's attractive. And I've got my salad dressing that I know what's gone in it. You know, I like
it's
to
not
make
out
my
of
own.
A bottle.
Right, exactly. Okay, Bonnie, next to you is a gift that I think is really pretty. And it's a ceramic dual mill. And it's a salt and pepper all in one. And it's acrylic. It's
very attractive.
It's tall. It's about 6-7 inches tall, would you say?
Mm-hmm.
A little more.
Yeah. 8 inches maybe.
Yeah. And it's got ceramic grating on it so that it's really sharp and it won't rust. And you can put that on your table. You don't need a salt and pepper shaker. It's all in one. And it's by Kyocera, which is known for their ceramic cutting knives and all.
And the other thing about it is that it has lids on both ends, covering
the salt
and the pepper,
so
that they don't
so
get
the
exposed.
Humidity doesn't get into your spices. If you didn't want to use salt and pepper, you could use
little,
other spices.
Or the little leavings on your counter after the pepper.
Right. We don't have leavings, do we?
No.
Okay. That's $24.95. And as I said, you can probably find these things at different prices on the internet. But I just think it's a great...
And who makes it?
Kyocera. Okay. Let's go quickly to some other things because we have a boxed knife set there that's made with bamboo cutting board and a Wursthof thing. And it's very pretty. It's all boxed and ready. A really good knife. I call it a charcuterie board because you can put it out with sausages and all. And that's $50. It's a gift thing.
Let me see that, Bonnie.
Before Do you need this knife, Linda?
Yeah, it's mine.
Okay, quickly
before we go to the break.
The kitchen which has everything.
Yes.
Joe, before we go to the break, right by your side is...
Oh, this is a monster here.
This is... I didn't think it would work. I didn't think it would work, and it's a grill bot. It cleans your grill. It's a robot.
A robotic grill rack cleaner.
Thank you.
It's got three really stiff wire brushes on a motor, and it's sort of like the automatic sweeper vacuums, the genie kind of things that can go under your bed and go around the floor like this. And should I turn this thing is a monster now?
Yeah, we better turn it on. Don't turn it twice.
Oh.
And each roller rolls forward and then stops and goes backwards, and it finds. I'm going to put it down here anyway.
You're going to beat up the.
Ooh.
You're supposed to put it in your grill with the. Ooh. Joe is playing with this. Anyway, it's $129, I think
it says if I hold this for 5 seconds, it'll stop.
I didn't think it would work. I put it on my disgusting grill, and it cleaned the whole grill.
It sounds like you're destroying something.
We have several more things here, and we're going to come back to them soon. But I'm Linda Gassenheimer. It's our annual Kitchen Gadget Gift Show.
I hope I can shut
this
thing off during the
break. We'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. And we're talking about my favorite kitchen gadget gifts, and Bonnie's already usurping most of them.
Now, what do you mean?
She's probably going to re-gift them, Linda.
All the gadget gifts we've mentioned are listed on my website with the photos and the prices at dinnerinminutes.com. And Periscope. We've got them on Periscope. If you go to your internet.
You go to Twitter.
To Twitter, and you'll be able to see them. Just quickly, our dinner in minutes is balsamic pork scallopini with garlic sweet potatoes. It's so easy. You take juicy pork tenderloin, you cut it into scallopini slices, and you just cook it for a couple of minutes each side. Take them out of the pan, put some balsamic vinegar and pine nuts in the pan.
Is that what you made that for in that cruet?
No, that's not. That's a salad dressing.
Oh. I thought you said a vinaigrette.
Vinegar, balsamic vinegar.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Joe, you can go to the website and get the whole recipe there. Anyway, that only takes a couple of minutes, 5 minutes maximum to cook that pork. And then the sweet potatoes and the sugar snap peas, you cut the sweet potatoes about the same size as the sugar snap peas, and you can make it in your microwave for a few minutes. So your whole dinner can be done in 15 minutes max. That recipe is at dinnerinminutes.com. It's from my book, Fast and Flavorful, Great Diabetes Meals from Market to Table. And also, please follow me on Twitter. That's @LGassenheimer. And Fred, we've got some wine gadgets coming up.
Yes, we do. You know, it's kind of hard to give wine to your wine-loving friends because first you don't know what they like and you're afraid you'll insult them by giving them something too cheap or embarrass them by spending more on them than they've spent on you. So my solution is wine gadgets. And of course, every wine fan needs more gadgets, as Linda was saying about food fans. So I've put together a short list of nifty ones that I've come across. And the first one involves an absolute seismic shift in wine drinking. It's a new champagne glass. This is historical. And you need first a little history. Legend has it that one of the early champagne glasses, called a coupe, C-O-U-P-E, was molded in the shape of French Queen Marie Antoinette's left breast.
This is not an X-rated program.
Oh, that's okay, they mentioned. That's pretty. That's even NPR would go along with that, I think.
Okay.
Anyway, that was because it was closest to her heart, and she wanted the aristocracy to toast to her health. But it had a problem. It was wide-mouthed but quite shallow, just like Marie, I guess. And the bubbles rose steadily through it and dissipated quickly, ending all the fun. So sometime in the 20th century, a new glass came on the market called the champagne flute. Now, this was tall and skinny, so you could watch the bubbles rise for a greater distance and a longer time. And some flutes even had a rough point etched at the bottom so the bubbles could form there and rise in a single elegant column all the way to the top. But now even that flute is being challenged. The Riedel Company, the maker of glasses specifically shaped for dozens of wines, has come up with a new champagne glass called Veritas. It's shaped kind of like a vertical egg that open at the top. And the theory is that you can still see the bubbles for a decent distance, but it's easier to swirl the glass to appreciate the aroma. So you're actually treating it more like just regular white wine.
So, but it comes in at the top, so it keeps the bubbles in?
More or less, yeah. It concentrates them, and then you swirl it, and you can sniff the aroma more easily. And you can buy this if you have to have the very latest. Set of two is $69. And you go to www.riedel.com, or you can find it at Bed Bath & Beyond.
You just quickly, Fred, just for a minute, you
so
had a couple
$35
more.
So it's $35 a champagne glass.
One glass, mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, this is Riedel. You pay a lot of money for Riedel glasses.
Right. You just quickly had a couple more things you wanted to mention.
Yeah, there's a wine bottle made of oak. Not glass. Now, here you get some cheap unoaked wine, maybe out of a box or something, and you pour it into this bottle made of wood, and you wait 24 to 48 hours, and you have a tasty, nicely oaked wine. Now, it might take a little experimentation to get the time right, but the oak bottle is good for at least 50 uses, and this is kind of pricey, too. This is $80 at www.oakbottle.com. And that's pretty much it.
What would an average wine, how long would it have to stay in there?
Well, they're saying you start trying at 24 to 48 hours, and then you adjust the time to the next time you make a bottle of wine, you adjust the time to make it more oaky or less oaky.
There you go. Mm. Thank you, Fred Tasker. That was interesting information. Now, I have a couple more gadgets here. One that Joe and Bonnie have been looking at forever is a George Foreman. Now, there's a lot of George Foreman grills out, and they actually do work very well. But this is called the George Foreman Evolve Grill. And it evolves because it's a 3-in-1. I like it if you live in a condo or a place where you can't have an outdoor grill, it's great to have one of these to grill on. But it doesn't take, in a small kitchen, it doesn't take up a lot of space. So what it has on it is it slopes down so you can grill your hamburgers, your vegetables, whatever you're going to grill on it. And then it has a knob that lays flat. So it has a waffle iron with it. And I have to admit, it's the first time I've made waffles that actually popped right out of the pan, and they were crisp on the outside and really nice. So that worked very well. And those grill pan plates.
That's an attachment for the waffles?
There are two different grill plates that come with it.
Okay.
And the picture's is on my website, but I think we're getting it on Periscope on Twitter at the moment. And so that's great because you can do that. You can make paninis in it. There's so many different things you can do, and you just need one piece of equipment, but it also has extra plates you can buy, and those plates range from $10 to $15. You can have an omelet pan. You can bake a cake. You can make a cake in it. The heat comes from the bottom and the top.
Cupcakes.
And cupcakes. You could. There's so many different things you can do with this grill. But the other thing it has is that it's calibrated, so you can say whether you want it 350, 375. You can or timer on it, so you can really organize that. It has a sear button.
What's the top heat on it? 375?
No, it has a sear button at 500 degrees. You can put a steak in there. You can sear it, and it automatically then after it sears it, it turns it down to 350.
Ooh, I might get one of those.
All right. Okay. Well, the price of that is, let me see. The price of that is $139 for the grill pan. It comes with the grill pan and the waffle pan, and the others are $10 to $15 more if you want that. And then my never-ending, we have another minute left. I want to show you this, my never-ending search for a thermometer. Now, I tested 6 meat thermometers. Outside of cutting into my meat to see if it's done, it's hard to find a thermometer that really works. And this one is called a folding thermocouple thermometer by CDN. It's pretty dangerous looking because it's a, what would you call it? It's got a long stick that folds in.
It's like a, like probe. An ice pick.
Like yeah, an, like exactly. Ice,
yeah, and it folds into the body of the thermometer, and it. You can have a maximum, you can have a minimum, you can the power goes on. But what I liked about this, it only needs to go 1/4 inch into the meat. So if you have something thin, like a fish fillet or something very thin, you can get the temperature on it in 3 seconds. So that's really very quick and easy for that. So all of these, as I've mentioned before, are on my website. You can learn all about them. Oh, that thermometer costs $72.
Ooh.
Well, it's a very good thermometer, though.
Mm-hmm.
that's it for the gadgets this
Linda
year.
Linda Bonnie wants to know what the model number is on that George Foreman grill that some people are giving for gifts.
Oh, she does?
I don't remember asking that.
Yes.
But okay.
Okay. So maybe Joe would like to have a gift. Is that what we're talking about? Well, it's an interesting week we've had, and. Fred Tasker, great advice as always. Love your champagne glass.
Always a pleasure.
Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Burnham, great to be with you.
Thank you, Linda.
Next week, we'll be talking with Chef Dewey Lasasso.
Yay.
Yes, he's from the Redlander restaurant down in the Schnebly Winery, and we'll hear all about that. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.
And thanks for sharing some time with us. Our producer is Richard Ives, technical direction from online producer Paul Leary. Don't forget about free audio downloads at our website. That's WLRN.org. A quick search for Topical Currents Archives takes you right there. We also have tidbits and links at the Topical Currents Facebook page. Yes, gift.
It's a 4.5-inch artisan utility knife by Wusthof.
Okay. Bonnie and I return Monday with a fascinating discussion with longtime journalist and historian Willie Dry. He's perhaps written his masterpiece about Florida. It's called For Sale, American Paradise, How Our Nation Was Sold an Impossible Dream in Florida. Learn more at 1. That's on Monday. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, Linda Gassenheimer, and Fred Tasker. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next from NPR News.